We're going to turn back to the book of James once again this morning, and we're not quite out of the first chapter, but we'll be getting through the end of the first chapter and then jumping into the second chapter, but not at the beginning of the second chapter. Today, and of course, you'll notice in your bulletins the passages that are identified there. I think it's exciting to know that as we look at the book of James, we're also seeing that out of his own relationship with his brother Jesus, that James is repeating perhaps much of what he heard Jesus say. While we have this very clearly as good teaching for us, we're wanting to look today and just see how some of those things meld together. Now, today we're not going to look back into the Gospels as much as we focus just in the book of James, but over the next couple of weeks we're going to see some other things that James takes a very clear cue from the Lord Jesus Christ as he is giving teaching. Of course, we understand and we believe that the Bible, every book of the Bible was written by instrumentation of the Holy Spirit as he inspired those human authors that wrote the words down. And certainly those words were written down out of the personalities of the individuals who wrote them, but they were inspired specifically by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and fully equipped for every good work. And so, as we remember that today, we're looking here in the book of James, and we're going to read verses 22 through 27, and then we're going to turn the page and look in chapter 2 at verses 14 to 26. And so, we'll read those consecutively, but beginning in chapter 1, verse 22. Here the word of the Lord says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue, his religion is useless and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Now, the first part of chapter 2 moves into a little bit different focus, but then he returns to these thoughts in verse 14 of chapter 2. So we're going to pick up reading there. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, stay warm, and be well fed,' but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works.' You believe that God is one. Good. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. Senseless person, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works in offering Isaac, his son, on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works, and by works faith was made complete. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.' you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them on out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Let's pray. Lord, this morning as we've come to this moment, we are grateful for the opportunity to just bow our heads and to worship you, to participate in this thing that we call the Lord's Supper, that is commonly known as communion. Lord, we come to you knowing that it's all about you, and that it is not something that we should seek to partake of because we are hungry or thirsty, but that we know you and we remember what it is. We understand the thing that you have done as you went to the cross, experienced the physical suffering, and poured out your life blood as an offering of sacrifice for our sin. Lord, may we remember your sacrifice and learn how to live it out in the way that we live and in the things that we do, even as we declare our faith in you. We praise you. We give thanks in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. This sermon's going to be in two parts. Okay? I'll finish it next week. I know some of you have already looked at your watches, and you're saying, Lord, don't let him really start preaching now. Or help him get on with it, right? But as we jump in here today, and as we begin this first part of this message, I've asked the question, are you doing your faith? We can do all kinds of things. We can say all kinds of things with words, and that's really so important. But what is it that you are doing that demonstrates your faith, in essence, is what we're asking today. Are you doing your faith? Does your faith cause you to do something? Does your faith cause you to be different from your neighbor who does not know Jesus? Does your faith cause you to be different and to do those things which lift up who Jesus is in your life and what he has done? For you see, there are those in our world who would want you to see the good works that they do and lift them up. They would want you to see that they have this wonderful attitude and this wonderful spirit and this wonderful nature, and they give of themselves, and then they want to be praised for doing those things. They do. I received a phone call this week from someone who asked me a question, and after I asked that question, this person just began to yell at me. And this person told me that they were a prophet of God and that they were one of the best apologists that I could find anywhere around. And all I did was answer a simple question about the purpose of our church. I said something like, the purpose of our church is to help people come into a relationship with the living God through faith in Jesus Christ and to grow up into Christ and so that their lives are reflective of who he is. And before I even could finish that statement, I was being accused of not even knowing what the purpose of the church is. Isn't that crazy? This person wanted to be lifted up. This person wanted to be exalted. This person told me that they were just this amazing, wonderful teacher and prophet of God. And there was an agenda before this person dialed the phone. The agenda was to build themselves up. The agenda was to be an accuser of the saints and of the church and of particularly this pastor, and to try to make me feel bad. Well, pretty soon I was done listening to being yelled at, and I said, I am very sorry, but I'm very busy today, and I don't really think I need what you have to say. And therefore, we don't really have anything else to talk about. And of course, that made the person that much more angry. And I finally had to just say, God bless you, goodbye. I'm praying for that person. I don't know what that person really needs, or even what that person really wants. But that person was seeking to be exalted themselves, and for me to approve of their behavior and of their so-called understanding and their so-called teaching and their so-called attitude. And there was this doing on their part that wanted them to be exalted. You see, the question I'm asking today is, are you doing your faith? What is it about your life today that makes it look to others that you are doing your life in order to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ? You see, the scripture says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. By this, the world will know, and they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, our purpose, our function, our work as individuals is to bring glory to God. If we're not thinking about that in the whole purpose and the whole process of what we are and who we are as individuals and as a church, then we're missing something in our faith. You know, maybe I think I'm a good person. Maybe I think I have a generally good attitude toward people. Praise Steve. No. No way. I am ugly and broken, and I can't even imagine where my brain comes up with some of the thoughts that it has. But some of them are wicked and ugly and dirty and filthy. And I need the very presence of the living God and the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus to purify my heart. Purify my heart and to make me clean and holy. And in that, He is to be praised and He is to be glorified. He is to be exalted. And so what is He trying to tell us here in James chapter 1? Some people might look at this and think, well, you know, if you're saved, then you got to be a doer. Well, I guess that's right, right? But once we are saved, the result is the doing. We don't do the doing in order to get saved, for we know that our salvation comes by faith in Jesus Christ. We are justified by His work, by His blood, by His life, by His resurrection. We are justified by faith, believing in Him. And yet the doing is the doing that demonstrates that we are different because we have been and are being transformed. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Look, look, he's different. All things have become new in his life. So what are you doing that demonstrates your faith? What are the indicators in your life? What do doers do? You like that question? Is it hard to say? What do doers do? Let me just give you a short list based on what we're seeing here in James chapter 1, and I'm going to encourage you, you can go back and identify the specific verses that I've drawn these principles from, but as we see this, I think we want to remember that doers take the Word of God seriously. That's the first thing doers do. Doers take the teachings of God's Word seriously. They believe what He said. They believe that what is righteous because of his righteousness and what he says is righteous. They believe and agree that what he has declared unrighteous, that is unrighteous. And therefore, we who may be found in our unrighteousness recognize that repentance takes us to a new place of holiness because we are seeking to be like the ones that Jesus has cleansed, has made new through the pouring out of his blood. And we need to take seriously what the Bible says. What does it say? Well, it says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. All right? And so if we dwell on the word of God, if we take the word of God seriously, it should impact what our behavior is. It should have a huge impact on the things that we do. What do doers do? They take the Bible seriously. What do doers do? They pay attention to what they have to say. They pay attention to what they have to say. In verse 20 through 22, but particularly in 22, it says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves, because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. He looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and preserves it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. Now, there's about 18 messages in there that we could stop and preach, all right? But let's just remember this. If you go and you look in a mirror and you see something that needs attention. Guys, I know we go to the mirror, we don't see anything that needs attention. We have to wait until we look into the faces of our own wives, where they can tell us what attention we need to give to our faces. Right? Now, there would never be on a vanity table in anyone's bedroom or bathroom one of those mirrors that has a light around it that lights up and is bright. And not only is it a lit mirror, but on both sides the light shines, and on one side it's just like your normal face. On the other side, it's like a 3 times magnified face because it's concave. And you see, the nature of the person who is taking care of themselves is concerned. And by the way, I'm not belittling this. I'm thankful for that because I know that my wife cares about how she looks. I know that she cares about how she presents herself to others. And I know that it's a valuable thing for her, and therefore it's a valuable thing for me because, she looks pretty good. And so as I think about those things, I know that maybe I don't think I need that kind of attention, but as she gives attention, it makes a difference in her life and in my world. And I'll tell you this, if a person looks in a mirror and sees something that needs to be done, they should do it. That's the whole point of that section. That's the whole point of it. If you look in a mirror and you walk away and say, oh, I don't care, that's most of us guys. Then you've missed the point of the Word of God and the value of the teaching of God's Word, because we need to be transformed and truly changed by our looking into the truth of the Word of God. We pay attention to what we have to say. And then going on in that section, we see that someone who does, what a doer does is to endure the details of the Christian life and go on and not be a forgetful hearer. And then one more thing I want to say about what doers do. Two more, actually. First is this, that the doer cares for the needs of others, especially those who cannot care for themselves. And we do it not because they are our mother or our own child, because our own child does not need that. Our own mother does not need that. When the Bible speaks of the widow, it says to pay attention to the needs of the ones who are widows indeed. Meaning that they have lost everybody. They've lost everything. They do not have children to care for them, to look after their needs. And the orphan is the one who has lost both parents or perhaps never knew their parents. And they don't have anyone to look after their needs. And so when the Bible tells us that we need to be particularly attentive to care for the needs of others, especially, we need to pay attention to those especially who cannot care for themselves. And you see, that's a part of what doers do. That's a part of what doers do. And why do we do it? So that we can be puffed up? So we can be proud of ourselves? Absolutely not. We do it for the glory of God. We do it that He would be known and exalted, and that we would be a true reflection of Jesus who loves us. And then the final thing that doers do. Doers avoid the stains of the world. Doers avoid the stains of the world. Now, we can't be among the world, we can't spend time with the people of the world without getting a little dirt on us, right? But we don't have to go diving into the mud just so that we can be covered up with the same dirt. You see, the world is covered with the dirt of sin. The world is covered with the filth and the mud and the muck of a life that has rejected the name of Jesus, has rejected the character of Christ, has rejected the holiness of God, and pursues the filth of the things of this world. How do we keep ourselves unstained? Well, I think the spirit of that statement is, don't go diving into the mud. Now, if you need to rescue someone from the mud, you can step in, you can wash your shoes, you can clean your pants. If you need to help someone out of the mud, they need help. And you help them with the Word of God. You help them with the grace of Christ. You help them with the hand of Christ. And you pull them into the light of Christ, where the blood of Christ can clean the mud off of their lives. And the best stain remover for you is the blood of Jesus. The best stain remover you will ever find is the blood of Jesus. And my friends, doers avoid the stains of the world, and they allow the blood of Jesus Christ to continue to wash over and cleanse and purify and make holy their lives. So they can say, I'm holy? No, never. So they can give glory to Jesus. And so others can give glory to Jesus because of what they see. What do doers do? I'm going to conclude with this question today just as simply as this. Are you a doer? And what do you need to do next? What needs to be done in your life? Now, there may be some things for believers that we need to do to just draw a little bit nearer to Jesus. There may be some of those things that we need to do to step away from sin and to glorify Him. There may be some of those things we need to do that we need to do just because we need to look a little bit more like Jesus. But what is the next thing after that? Who is it that you need to touch? What life do you need to make a difference in? Where do you need to look a little bit more like Jesus? What do doers pay attention to what the Bible says? Take it serious. Be careful about what you say. And by the way, that really gets busy in chapter 2, talking about what we say. The tongue is a fire. and care for the needs of others, especially those who cannot care for themselves. I'm not sure we need to take care of everybody, because there are some, in fact many, who have decided that they will just live off of everybody else because they don't want to care for themselves. But it may be that they need that hand up, that leg up, to help them get out of the muck so that they can begin to care for themselves. So let's not forget every person in the world, right? Because there will be those who have decided they're better than you. There are those who've decided that they cannot be anything like Jesus, and so they're just going to live in the muck. But what is your role in relationship to all of those things? What do you do next? Let's pray. Lord, today, we've got many other things to consider in the days ahead as we look at the book of James. But Lord, thank you for this question that asks, what do doers do? And Lord, for each one of us now, thank you for the opportunity to consider, what do I do next as a doer? For as I desire with a whole heart to not only be a hearer of your word, Lord, may my life truly demonstrate that I'm a doer of your word. And may we together as a body in Christ do the things that glorify your name, O Lord, and lift up the work and the sacrifice and the name of Jesus, our Savior. Let us do what we must do for your pleasure and for your glory. Lord, now we pray as we come to this close that you will be exalted even now. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, and we're going to sing a song that is so important as we consider what it means to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just simply living for Jesus, a life that is true. You might even think doing for Jesus what doers do, right? Don't rewrite it, but just think of what he wants to do in your life. Let's stand together.